Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. How are you all doing? Welcome your neighbor to your left and right. Come on, tell him it's good to see you today. How was your day? How are you today? Praise the Lord. Pastor Paul, thank you for bringing such an atmosphere. Audacity, thank you for bringing such an atmosphere. Glory to God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. But I tell you truly, thank you very much, guys. God bless you. We'll come back again. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see. Let's read this together. One, two, go. There are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Till they see the kingdom of God. Praise God. Till they see the kingdom of God. You know, today I was just, while I was studying my Bible, it occurred to me that there are certain things that must be seen, especially in your walk with God, in your journey. It helps to buttress your faith. Certain things that you must encounter, certain things you must experience as a believer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we said that there's some of these people, Jesus was talking to a crowd, a group of people, and then he said to them, some of you will not die, but you will see the kingdom of God before you die. And then there's a popular story that all of you know. You see that story in the next verse. So let's see verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What sayings? There's some of you who will not die until you see the kingdom of God. Exactly. So then now it came to pass about 8 days. This is the story of the transfiguration, by the way. Saying that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. So, Jesus began to pray. I believe that that particular verse where he said, there are some of you who are standing here but will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God. I believe he was specific about Peter, James, and John. Eventually, a lot of people got to see the kingdom of God, especially the coming of the kingdom in its full glory after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But in a dimension that had never happened before, that's fine. In a dimension that had never happened before Christ died, I'm sure he was talking about Peter, James, and John. So today, I want to talk about transformations in prayer. Transformations in prayer. Now, back to our text. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things. You know, it's possible after 8 days that you forget what the master said, right? Yeah, because it's over a week. There's almost no, if nothing happened within 1 week, it's easy for your mind to go off. Then he took Peter, John, and James. You know, there are many accounts of this story of the transfiguration. There's some accounts that talk about Jesus transfigured. But this is the only account that explains what happens before Jesus became transfigured. There is no other account. If you check the other accounts, this is the only account, the Luke's account. And to my best of memory, Luke is a medical doctor. Doctors are somewhat detailed. Amen?
Amen.
No beefing in the house, amen?
Amen.
You're not the one with the mic. If you had the mic, you would talk back. So Luke takes his time to identify all the details in the transfiguration. So he says something that, verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face, what? Was altered. So if you read other accounts, Mark's account, if you read the other account, you will just see that the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured, or the face or his countenance was altered. But it won't tell you that it was while he was praying. So Luke is the only that says, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. Do you guys believe that? While we were praying today, or anytime you pray, things happen. Sometimes they are not obvious to your perception, but doesn't mean it's not happening. So as he prayed, his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease, that is of his death, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those who were with him, or Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were full awake, they saw his glory. Somebody said they saw his glory. My wife and I were talking about this today. We're talking about the glory of God. And you know, sometimes when the glory of God appears in a meeting, first of all, what is glory? Glory is glory is influence, okay? Glory is a representation of someone. Glory is reflective. That's what you call glory. So when you see the influence of God in a situation or in a meeting, then you say, that's glory. If you see a man, I think this is very common to the Northerners. The Northerners may not be very big on how they appear, but if you see their kids, if you see their wives, maybe when you look at their watch and their slippers, you probably would tell that they have money. Maybe. But they are not so, because I was born in the North, so I understand that. But if you see their kids, if you look at their skin, you speak in tongues. Now, the children of that man are the glory of the man. The way the wife looks is the glory of the man. That's why you see, I can't understand men who prefer to bawl and their kids are suffering. You know, follow, you know. Because first of all, you don't understand glory and the reflection of what you really are. Because when you say reflectiveness, something is supposed to explain you. Are you following what I'm saying? Something is supposed to say this is who and where this man is by virtue of seeing what represents him. So when we say the glory of God, there is, yes, we are talking about God, but we can also be talking about the influence of God. When you see the workings of God in the meetings or the move of the Spirit of God, you can say the glory of God. That's why you see a pastor will say the glory of God is here. I hope you understand it. So the Bible says now that they saw his glory and two men who stood with him. Then what did, let's go to the next verse. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. So that means it's possible. Anyways, let me not go ahead of myself. While he was saying this, a cloud came and I've overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Jesus. Have you read this part before? They were fearful as they entered the cloud. Wait, where were they? There was a place I traveled to, and we climbed the mountains. It was somewhere out of the country. We climbed the mountain. People were living on the mountains, right? First of all, the driver who was taking us said, we're going up the mountains. So I thought he meant we're just going to climb a casual hill. You know how you're driving and then you just go a little bit up and then you come down. Maybe you see some small bushes and grasses around you. I didn't know what he meant when he says we're climbing the mountain. We literally climbed the mountain. Because as the car was going round like this. For every turn, it was an ascent. Because they designed it in such a way that as you go, you can't tell you are going up. So you don't feel the steepness of your journey. So you just keep going around. You know, and it reminds me of the scripture where David had a revelation of God and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down green pastures. He, he leads me in the path of righteousness. Now, that path of righteousness, all right, explains a shepherd, because David is a shepherd boy. So he sees a revelation of God as though God was a shepherd. Because sometimes God will speak to you in languages you can understand. If David was a chef, David would see God with pots and spoons and frying omelets and the Lord is my omelet. No, let's say it again. The Lord is my fire. Yeah, let's give the good one the Lord. The Lord is my fire. He makes me the omelet come out well. But he's not a chef. David is shepherd. So he sees God in the revelation as a shepherd. And then that thing called the path of righteousness. It's like you're going round a path. You're taking the sheep round a mountain. And as you go round the mountain, you don't want the sheep to tire out. So the shepherd creates path round the mountain where the grasses are up there. In such a way the sheep don't feel the steepness of the journey. So that's the way it was. We kept going and we kept going. We're just going, navigating around. And by the time we got to after let's say 20 minutes, I looked down, I saw the city down. Wow. Where I was standing, I was told that in the morning, you could feel the mist. You know when you see the mountains and you see mist in the mountain? Because we were probably around 800 meters above sea level. That's how high we got to. So people were living in the mountains. You know, the Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds those who fear him. Jerusalem had the advantage of mountains around them. That's why when people came to fight Israel, the Jerusalemites or the Israelites will stand from the vantage point of the mountain to face the enemy. Because the higher you are, the easier it is to face the enemy. So David now writes the psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the what? To the hills from... That's a question mark. The original translation says, will I lift up my eyes to the hills? Because as a soldier in Israel, I am trained to be positioned on the hills. So will I lift up my eyes to my vantage point or will I see God? So God is my vantage point. God is my advantage, not the hills. That's the original translation. Yeah. So we kept going and then we got there. We saw where I stood. It said a mist will appear here. So these people entered a cloud. Listen to me. In prayer, strange things happened to everybody who was on that mountain. Strange things. Strange things happened to everybody on that mountain. The first person who was hit, or the first person who had the transformation was Christ, was Jesus. The Bible says that his face, if you go back to verse 28, that the countenance of his face began to change. Everything started to shift. The cloth he was wearing started to get altered. You know, it's easy to see Jesus in this text, but it's very easy to miss Peter, James, and John. Let's look at this thing again. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him. That means Jesus was seeing a vision. Yes? Yes or yes? Are we together? Are you sure you guys are here? Jesus was seeing a vision. And in that vision, tell everybody who is outside, let them come inside. Everyone who is outside. No one should be outside except there is a cause to be outside. While he was talking to two people who were speaking of his death, the Bible says that Peter said, if it's possible, let's build three tabernacles. So something came to mind that let me use husband and wife. This man is praying in the morning and God opens his eyes. He begins to see a particular vision. The scripture now says that according to the scripture, she begins to see what he's seeing. That people who are around the circumference of this man are seeing what he's seeing. Yes. So it means that whenever you are in a company, you know, I call it prophetic highways. Yes. Whenever you are in a company of gathering, maybe people are praying, there is the possibility that you can come into somebody else's visions. God can give gift a word of knowledge and Ore will pick it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So the point I'm making is nobody was missing in the experience of that transfiguration. Yeah. Because sometimes when God, look at it this way, that when God speaks to people, visions and revelations have to be by discernment. So what realm was Peter, James, and John operating in that they saw something they should have seen by discernment? They were within the circumference of something powerful that was going on. Paul was on his way to Damascus to taunt the body of Christ. And the Bible says that he saw a great light. Now, others didn't see a great light. Others heard a sound. But he saw the light. Because sometimes revelations and visions are encoded to the specific people they belong to. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Okay. Jesus was before Lazarus and then he cried out with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus! Okay, before he says, Lazarus, he makes a statement and he says, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. That means God spoke to Jesus before he said, Lazarus, come forth. But what the people heard was not what Jesus heard. What Jesus heard was a clear, precise word, probably about Lazarus. But if you read the Bible very well, the Bible says that the people heard as though it thundered. Have you seen that scripture, man of God? Yeah. So there was thunder. But that thunder was God talking to Jesus. So Jesus now said, Father, I thank you because you hear me. That's because dreams, okay, let's leave dreams. Revelations and visions are encoded specifically to whom it belongs to. But when you begin to pick snippets of other people's revelations, it means you have come into certain dimensions and realms of discernment that God by the Holy Ghost is bringing you into. So we gather in the service, for example, and the pastor, for example, says something. The Lord is bringing restoration to someone in 3 days. That word was for Nene. But because there is somebody hungry who says, I will come into this word. I mean, God gave the utterance to the pastor, and the pastor said it. The word was channeled in that direction because it was for her. But there are people who are in the service who, by virtue of their hunger and expectation, will say, this word is my word. And they can force it to become their word. So people take things in service. Are you still here? Okay. So people gain certain experiences in the service that may not be collective, but becomes collective by virtue of hunger and passion. So strange things happen to everybody in the service. On that mountain, while Jesus is praying, the Bible says that his fashion was altered, his fashion was changed, his fashion was transformed. Oh, goodness. And then the Bible says, there's another version that says that there was a bright cloud. Now, the Luke version says that the disciples entered into a cloud, right? But if you read other translations, it says that they entered into a bright cloud, or there was a bright cloud that appeared. Who has ever seen a bright cloud before? Let's start from there. Who has seen a bright cloud before? I didn't say who has seen a white cloud. I said, who has seen a bright cloud? You know, there's a difference between bright cloud and white cloud. What's the difference? Okay, firstly, what is the purpose of a cloud? A cloud is supposed to shade from light. Is that correct? So that whenever you see a cloud, it dampens or dampens the intensity of the light. So many times, you can see the rays of light coming or piercing through the clouds. But if you took the cloud away, you see the brightness from the source of the light. So the cloud itself is not the source of the light, but the cloud is an experience from the light. Are you still here? Okay, if you have a white paper and you shine light on the white paper, you might see reflections coming from the white paper. But when the Bible says that this cloud was bright, it means that this cloud was generating light. This cloud was emitting maybe photons and atomic combinations producing lights. Possibly. Things were going on there. And when you see that there is a cloud over someone, the next thing you're going to perceive or probably see is a shadow. Okay? So Peter was the one who, especially Peter, saw these things. I have come to learn that there are certain things that follow you from prayer. Prayer has a way of changing your scent. Prayer has a way of, when you pray, a prayerful person emits a kind of aura that may not be conscious to him, but is something you inevitably carry wherever you go. If you spend time to pray, you would easily bring out the glory out of you. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so no wonder the Bible talks about Peter, who walks about. And the scripture says that the shadow of Peter begins to heal the sick. So you start to wonder, where did he pick these things from? Where his shadow? You know, listen to me. Don't look at it as though it is mechanical. No, that's what, because spiritual things are spiritual. Let's first of all establish that. Okay, so the sick did not have to be positioned against the direction of light for it to cast a shadow. It was not mechanical in that way. It was just that there was a kind of shadow that followed Peter. It was not a case whereby the dimension of Peter healing the sick by his shadow only happened in the daytime. Because even in the evening, there was still a shadow that followed Peter in the evening. There was a circumference of glory upon him. That's the reason why people can see you and feel you are different. They know you, but they don't know you. Let me put it this way. There are versions of you that will come out after today. Amen, amen. Let me go to this side. There are versions of you that will come out after today. That's much better. So can I come back to you now? Should I come back now? No, they are not even ready. I beg, shift my pulpit this way. Very, very insulating cloud. Are you ready for me now? I said that there are versions of you that will come out. They've overtaken you guys. I'm staying here. Praise God. So this Jesus begins to pray, and in prayer, everything about Jesus is transformed. Even the people who are not sensitive to the change. So the Bible now says that the face of Jesus changed when he prayed. Do you know it's possible that one person influenced this message today by the Holy Spirit? It is very possible, because maybe God has been speaking to two members in TSP. You can fix yourself in the one of the two if you like. But maybe God has been speaking to two people in TSP in the direction of prayers. So God puts it in Pastor Phil's heart to talk about prayer, because this experience is key for your next level. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay. So the Bible says that the face of Jesus began to change. His face changed. It means that when you pray, the face of things can change. The face of cancer can change when you pray. Yeah. So look at it like that. You know, when you read scripture, you have to see applications and how it affects you. How does this thing relate to me? It means that what stands when you pray can shift after you're done. What postures itself when you pray can turn after you're done praying. What might present itself as a definition can change in definition after you pray. So the face of things can change. You know, someone comes and tells you, this thing is not possible. It's been concluded. It's been done. I mean, it's been signed. It's been sealed. Are you God? It's only God who is in that position. Who, you know, the Bible says, who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not spoken yet? So, you know what? If I were you, I would love to try God and take God on his word on things that are seemingly impossible and present it to God. And then you practice it and change the face of things when you pray. Try it. It's just that some of us are too lazy in prayer. So to just wake up and pray is a problem. You know, let me define devotion for many of you. Devotion. Devotion is when you are in the car, you're driving, blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's green light. Hello, boss, I'm coming. That's your morning devotion. Boss, I'm coming. I'll be there in 5 minutes. This light. Who is this driver in my front? Would you get out of the road? Let me check. And then a scripture comes to mind. You probably, there's traffic. It's 1 minute. You just probably look at your phone and, you know, some distraction will just rise. Before you know it, you see one WhatsApp status, you know, something that takes you off course. Or you just open Instagram and you stay on Instagram. You just start to do this. Let me tell you what you do. Look at, you know, your phone has screen time. Go to your screen time and assess your day with your screen time and see how many hours you spend on the phone doing what. Because screen time will give you percentages of where you are spending your time. Some people, let's leave it. But should I define devotion for you? Devotion is that thing is the only thing you are doing. That's what makes it devotion. What's the word devoted? Devotion is that I am committed to this thing for now. So if your Bible is on your phone, right? And your distractions are on your phone, blessed are you. Good luck. Do you get? Because I don't know how you can actually be devoted to studying Bible for that 5 minutes without the crisscross of the distractions by Snap, Instagram, WhatsApp, help me please, TikTok, Reels, which one again? Twitter, Facebook. How is that devotion? Devotion means that when you are studying or you are praying, that is the only thing you are doing. That's what makes it devotion. So if you don't know how to drop your phone, you see somebody praying, holding phone, doing this, doing that. Listen to me. Your phone is not running away. The messages will not disappear except the person deletes it. It is waiting for you. You will come back eventually and you will have your time. It's a culture right now. Back in those days, we were fine without this technology. We were doing very okay. But now we thank God, because it's helping us for information and all of that. Fine. But if you see husband and wife, 20 years ago, there was less influence of telephone. I want to use the word telephone. There was less influence of social media. And there was more conversation. Husband and wife can look at the wife's eye and talk to the wife. But if you see the average couple today, the wife is the phone. Okay, the wife is the wife through the phone. You will get it when you get home. You don't even have time to talk to yourselves again. You don't even know who your husband is because of phone. So there was a day I went to see one of our friends, a son to my father, Mama Uzesi's husband. It's not Air Commodore, it's more than Air Commodore. What's the high ranking, the general for? No, he's not yet Air Vice Marshal. Yes, AVM, Air Vice Marshal. You're right about that. Air Vice Marshal. So he's an Air Vice Marshal. And then we gathered. So he was telling me, say, doctor, see, just watch everybody. So there were some teenagers who were there. He said, just watch everybody there. Everybody was quiet. For like 5 minutes, nobody said anything. But everybody was on their phone. Now, you might think everybody's quiet. They're not quiet, though. There's so much of noise going in their head. In fact, if you are a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of man's heart, you see that the noise coming from there is louder than the jam that we were hearing from the DJ. Now, because the workplace has moved to phone now. Conversations have moved to phone now. So some things are being lost, including devotion. So devotion now is not really pure devotion because of our phones. You know, we have to watch that, right? Because some things cannot be too excessive. Some things cannot be excessive. It's good to put a balance to things, right? That is devotion. It's the only thing that you're doing. But the problem is people will not just be diligent in prayer. Because if you can pray, God, there are some things that will change. You know, I talked about how mountains can actually move when people pray. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed. And I explained to you that a lot of us have not seen mountain before. What you have seen is rock. Zuma Rock. Or what's the name of the one in Abeokuta? Olumba Rock. Is not mountain, no. But if you see that rock, it's huge. If you see mountain, the thought of moving mountain doesn't come to you. Because it's not a conversation of a possibility. You know, when something is possible, you can think it first. But can you get to a place where you are frequent in thinking impossibles? You see, so as I'm talking right now, the spirit of possibility is coming on you. See what I'm saying? There was a man called Kenneth Copeland in the Bible. In the U.S. Said in the Bible. Kenneth Copeland. God started to talk to him about TV ministries. It's time to go global. He doesn't have a church. Kenneth Copeland is not a pastor. He's a TV evangelist. All right? God started to talk to him about TV ministries. But his heart could not carry it. Because it was too big for him to perceive. Have you ever been in the face of something that looks big? You want it, though. But some of you can't even ask it because you don't have mind to ask. See, I'm talking the experience of many people because what many of us are going through is that we are stuck. We say amen to the promises, but we are stuck in the faith dimension where the can-do spirit brings you into a place. So there is, first of all, a can-do spirit before you get to wisdom and excellence. Remember when I talked about taking the city? Hi, are you following?
Yes, sir.
So you must first of all have a can-do spirit for a city. You must have a can-do spirit for a position you want to occupy. You must have a can-do spirit for a light you want to be to the world. If you don't have that can-do spirit, to ask in the first place is a problem. So Kenneth Copeland said he started to pray to the point whereby TV ministry looked like nothing to him. He had not started, he didn't have the money for it, he didn't have the funds for it, but it looked like it was mere interviews. Something hit him. Archbishop said, when I stand before people, I stand as giants in front of grasshoppers. Not that he's insulting the people, but do you know what it means to stand before 20,000 people? Let me ask you. In fact, ask your neighbor. No, wait. Let me ask you. Have you ever stood in front of 10,000 people before? First of all, to stand before your family and address family meeting, you are choking on your words. You can't even talk well. Then you stand before 10,000 people. Then you stand before 100,000 people. Then you stand before 2 million people. Archbishop used to have crusades that were 2 million people in attendance. There was one he did in Ibadan. There was one epic crusade he did in, where does Express hold in Lagos? TBS. Tafa Balewa Square. Where Pastor Paul does the experience. Archbishop Benson Dausa in the 80s has jammed that place before. You know, if you organize programs in TBS, there is space for coordination and walking. Ushers, we say, come this way, sit down there. If you look at the picture for Archbishop's Crusade, the Archbishop is on the, let's say this is the beginning of TBS. This is where all the ministers are sitting. This is where he's standing to preach. You know where people are starting to sit from here? I'm not joking. Go and look for the picture. It's online. Check the picture, you see it. Everywhere was jammed. So when he says that, when I stand before a crowd, and it feels like it is, I'm standing before grasshoppers, is a man who in prayer has risen above fear for crowd, fear for that level of capacity, because it takes a capacity to be there as the one who dispenses God's grace to that number of people. To some he gave 5, some he gave 2, some he gave 1. Capacity. So there are certain things that are too big in your mind. Can I be a billionaire? Billionaire is for government officials. Then for me, at least, I know I'm a... I believe God, I'm a millionaire. Can I be a CEO? Can I have a company that takes me around the world? Can my company be established globally? I know who say market I'll do well. But you see, to see the globe, you're not getting what I'm saying. It takes a capacity and a level of accent from here first that nothing changes on the outside, but something changes on the inside. You begin to see yourself in a different light. And let me tell you the truth. Before things happen to you, you would likely see it first. After you have seen it, it's easier for you to walk in that realm. So pictures. God begins to put pictures. That's the word, pictures. When you pray, pictures begin to form in your spirit. All of a sudden, you just start to see yourself in a dimension. So the fashion of his countenance was changed. Now, you know when Jesus prayed, it was one thing for his garment to change, but it was another thing for him to change. When you become the object of change in prayer, that you are praying, and it's not as if impossible situations are becoming possible. There is that. But there is also when you pray, you become possible. You, something shifts with you. Usually that's the better part. Because when things change and you have not changed, you can take it back to status quo because of a small mind. Because God will pour on you based on the dimension of your perception of him and of you. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. So that is the way we were. But there were two men who said, give us, Kai. Give us, because these people are like bread for us. So, get ready. For all of you who came today, the spirit of supplication and grace will rest upon you. Amen. That the face of things will begin to change. The face of things will begin to shift. You will begin to change. You will begin to be transformed. Transformation in prayers. Transformation in prayers. Transformation in prayers. Possibilities are open before you. Your mind is expanded. Your spirit is expanded. Your possibility thinking is expanded.
Because God is bringing you into realms and levels of dimensions of possibility with God. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible without Him. So now we have all gathered here. You will realize that the angels of God are moving around with packages for your neighbor, but some will drop to you. Your own is coming to you, but some are also dropping for you. That's why they said, is Saul also amongst the prophets? It's a prophetic highway. Something was for the prophetic to the prophets. The prophets began to prophesy, but Saul was in the circumference of prophets prophesying, and he began to prophesy. So it means there are certain breakthroughs. There are certain breakthroughs that can come on you because you negotiate territories. Ooh, did you hear what I just said? You negotiate territories. People who don't pick up what is theirs, you can pick it up. Yeah, you can negotiate. You know, when God said, Lucifer, where are you coming from? He said, I am coming from to and fro, up and down the earth. And then Lucifer begins to negotiate with God. God gave him part of his negotiation. God is doing that for Lucifer. He no go do that one for you. God said to Lucifer, Lucifer started bargaining with God. He said, God, see, I know. First of all, God is bragging. Have you seen my servant Job? And then Lucifer says, it's not because you put a hedge around him. Then Lucifer says, take the hedge. You will see he will curse you. And God says, you know what? You have it. Lucifer came before God, not expecting that will happen. But he appeared before God and he got something. Satan appeared before God and got something. Can I say that again? Satan, Lucifer, appeared before God and got something. How much more the children of God? How much more believers? How much more those who are blood washed? How much more those who are sanctified? How much more? He who comes before God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So we appear before God and things must drop. Things must drop. Answers are dropping tonight. Lift your hands, lift your hands. Come on. Answers are dropping tonight. Answers. Doubts are being dissolved tonight. Riddles are being answered tonight. Packages and glories are being reflected on you. All right? Because the graces of possibility thinking is coming upon many people today. The spirit of supplication to adventure in the place of prayer. That is, you begin to pray and you move from one level to another in prayer and you see possibility and you keep going until you get to your final destination. Adventures in prayer. I release upon you in the name of Jesus the grace to possess what belongs to you. The grace to lambano what belongs to you. The grace to take hold of what is yours. The grace to apprehend that which he apprehended you for. The grace to lay on what you were laid hold on by Christ. The grace to touch what is yours in Africa. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. The grace to touch what is yours on the globe. The grace to take your mountains and subdue them. The grace to make your family smile. The grace to bring joy to your nation. The grace to lift up Jesus in a place. The grace to exalt Christ. The grace to put money under subjection. The grace to say no to poverty. The grace to walk in supernatural healing. The grace to walk in health. The grace to walk in dimensions of God. Receive it in the name of Jesus. As he prayed, his countenance was shifted. His countenance was shifted. Now, I bring you a word for somebody. We're going to close now. But let me give you a word. There's somebody who has been battered by life. Expectations have been dropped and suspicions are up. Did you hear what I just said? Expectations are down and suspicions are up. And God says, I shall let you know, that in the next couple of hours and days, you would begin to have visions and dreams and pictures. Spirit of God, help me say this thing well. You begin to have pictures and dreams of possibilities. And you be like Christ who said, I have come in the volume of the books that is written of me. You will see yourself in the scripture. Badebo. You will see yourself in the possibility of God. You will see yourself as the way God sees you. Yes, you will see yourself walking in the light of God. And I declare over you that men and women will say, behold, a great light has come. Answer has come in the person of you call your name. Answer has come in the person of fear. Answer, solution has come in the person of fear. Grace has come in the person of fear. And I'm declaring over you, you are the answer to the omen of kings. You are the answer to the riddles of nations. You are the answer to the riddles of kings. God gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and then Daniel has the answer to the dream. That's what I see someone coming with. You are possessing the answer to sectors, the answer to sectors, the answer to mountains, the answer to territories, the answer to the kingdom. In walking in your dimension, in walking in your influence, in walking in power, you come undeniable. You are a moving train that cannot be stopped. Father, we thank you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. 2 minutes, then we're done. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 2 minutes, and then we're done. Borabade bodoboshad. Bograta. I see a picture of someone who was exchanged at the last minute. You were supposed to be selected for something, and all of a sudden there was an exchange. You missed it. God says that by the hand of his power, I'm going to overturn it. I'm going to overturn it. I release angelic activities on your behalf now. I release angelic activities right now for that person. I don't know who you are. And I see someone who is being fixed in last minute. I don't know who you are. You are not on the radar, but you are going to be called last minute, last hour appointment, last hour breakthrough, last hour receiving of results, last hour. That is, there is no difference between you and those who labored from the beginning. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I release upon you grace. Take it in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring a testimony to your people in the next 3 days. Bring a testimony to confirm this word in the name of Jesus. There's somebody who is watching on camera. I don't know who you are, but you are in the description that I just made. I don't know who you are. I release upon you grace for performance in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up. Father, we give you glory. We bless your name because you remain God. You remain good. Your mercies endure forever. We thank you. We celebrate you, Jesus. We love you always for being mindful of us. You are a good Father. That's who you are. You're a good God. That's who you are. We celebrate you, Father. And to you be all the praise and glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. Let's do some rejoicing. 20 seconds rejoicing. Come on, rejoice. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.